ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 15 एंटाइटल द डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ किंग प्रियव्रत। टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्रील सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड द सन ऑफ महाराज भरत known as Sumati, followed the path of Rishabdev, but some unscrupulous people imagined him to be Lord Buddha himself. These people, who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principles in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. Thus, these sinful people accepted Sumati as Lord Buddha Dev and propagated the theory that everyone should follow the principles of Sumati. In this way, they were carried away by mental concoction. Purport. Those who are Aryans strictly follow the Vedic principles, but in this age of Kali, a community has sprung up known as the Arya Samaj, who is ignorant of the import of the Vedas in the Parampara system. Their leaders decry all bona fide acharyas and they pose themselves as the real followers of the Vedic principles. These acharyas who do not follow the Vedic principles are presently known as the Arya Samajas or the Jains. Not only do they not follow the Vedic principles, but they have no relationship with Lord Buddha. Imitating the behavior of Sumati, they claim to be the descendants of Rishabdev. Those who are Vaishnavas carefully avoid their company because they are ignorant of the path of the Vedas. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyah. The real purpose of the Vedas is to understand me. This is the injunction of all Vedic literatures. One who does not know the greatness of Lord Krishna cannot be accepted as an Aryan. Lord Buddha, in incarnation of Lord Krishna, adopted a particular means to propagate the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. He preached almost exclusively among atheists. Atheists do not want any god, and Lord Buddha therefore said that there is no god, but he adopted the means to instruct his followers for their benefit. Therefore, he preached in a duplicitous way, saying that there is no God. Nonetheless, he himself was an incarnation of God. Om. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the Srimad Bhagavatam at its outset announces one of its purposes. Dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam. And this is the second verse in which Vyasadev is speaking that Srimad Bhagavatam establishes pure dharma and simultaneously kicks out all kinds of Kaitava Dharma. As herein in this particular verse, Sukadeva Goswami is also pointing out that how this one type of Kaitava Dharma started after this person known as Sumati. And Srila Prabhupada, he never misses the opportunity to smash and expose such propounders of bogus religions. In the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shripad Narad Muni, in his instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj for the civilized human beings, he also speaks of five types of irreligion, five branches of a religion. And Srila Prabhupada again in the purport wonderfully exposes, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, how these five types of irreligion are so prominently seen. So Narad Muni is saying, dharma badho vidharma syat paradharmo anya chodita upadharmastu pakhando dambhova shabda bhikshalaha. Narad Muni is saying that there are these five types of irreligion. The first is called vidharma. The second is called paradharma. The third is upadharma. The fourth is chaladharma. And the fifth is dharma abhas. And he explains each of them. Vidharma means religious principles which obstructs one from following his own religion. And that is called vidharma. And over here we see in the purport as well as in the translation, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about them. That these Aryans who think that they are Aryans, first of all, when they are not, and they follow a so-called spiritual path in which they claim themselves to be real followers of the Vedas. And many times they take up to this extreme degree of non-violence in which they will cover their face so that when they are breathing, not even a single microorganism should be killed, even when they are breathing. Or when they drink the water, they'll filter it to the max. And they'll walk bare feet. But little do they understand that they're walking bare feet to go to this big opulent temple of theirs, not realizing that in order to build that big, huge temple, so many living entities were killed. So what about that? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he very wonderfully termed it, this show of non-violence or mundane charity to other living entities. He called it that somebody wants to donate a shoe by killing a cow. Very wonderfully he explained that somebody poses himself to be very charitable and wants to donate a shoe to someone. But in order to do that, he's killing a cow and making a shoe out of that and then donating and thinking that, no, I am being very charitable. So we see that these kind of practitioners who come in this category of vidharma, they not only are not able to follow their own principles properly, but then they also decry the pure principles of the Vedas. Just like recently in the Gita course, one person from this category was speaking to me and was saying that we can understand to what extent they can go. Saying that according to their school of thought, Ravana was more virtuous than Lord Ram. Because Ravana had Sita for one full year and he was so self-controlled that he didn't even touch her. So therefore, Ravana is considered, according to them, more virtuous than Lord Ram. And definitely, what Ravana ultimately had to get from Lord Ram is something which these people will also get. So herein we see Narad Muni speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthir, the first category, the Vidharmas. And also in this, there are these people who accept meat eating as a religious principle. And even in that, they have certain rules and regulations in which how to eat that meat. If there is a single drop of blood in that meat, then that meat is considered to be irreligious or sinful. And definitely on Fridays, one should not do that. So, you know, this is like somebody who is following the principle of eating no onion and garlic. So says that I'm eating a meat without onion and garlic in that. Which means, you know, I'm strictly following the principles of eating that passionate food, onion and garlic. But what about the main stuff? What about the main meal which that person is taking in? And then Narad Muni goes on to explain that the next category of these irreligious people, branch of irreligion, is Paradharma, in which he explains religious principles introduced by others. They see some phenomena or see someone with some extraordinary power and they introduce a religious principle after that. And we have the historical account of how when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the Akrura Ghat and in the whole of Vrindavan this news was spreading that Krishna is seen every evening dancing on the hoods of Kaliya in Jamuna. And the rumor was spreading so much that even the servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that, can't we not go and see this wonderful scene, Lord Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rebuked and slapped slightly this servant of his. And later on, some of the sannyasis who came to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from them, so what is this rumor which is spreading in Vrindavan that every evening Lord Krishna is giving his darshan and dancing on the hoods of Kaliya? And they explained that what was happening, that there was a fisherman who was taking his boat and going in the Jamuna to fish. And he was having a pole and two lamps suspended, lanterns, to light up his way. And the people who were seeing that, they were thinking that here is River Jamuna, and this boat appeared to be Kaliya, and these two lanterns which were hanging to the side of the pole, they appeared as the two eyes of Kaliya, the shining eyes of Kaliya, and the boatman was Krishna. So herein, this is the example of how this Paradharma is introduced by people. Rupa Raghunath Prabhu was one time explaining that he was distributing books in the Kumbh Mela. And he was doing that under a tree. He was having a chadar over him. And while distributing books, so that chadar was falling off from his shoulders, so he thought of keeping that chadar aside under the tree. So he took out that chadar, folded it nicely and kept it under the tree and then continued distributing the books. And after a while, he saw that there was a long line of people, you know, with, you know, haldi, kumkum and some rice grains, you know, worshipping that chadar under the tree. In Nasik also, we saw this recent Kumbh Mela. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving a talk, and after that many devotees, they came and they were talking to him, and there was a kind of a line in which devotees were waiting to talk to him. And then I saw that the line went outside till the pandal, the ISKCON pandal, and whoever was entering that pandal was joining that line. not realizing why this line is for. And I went to some of the people and asked them that, you know, by the way, what are you waiting for? Why are you standing in this queue? And they told to me, is there anything being distributed here? They were thinking that there is a line wherein some food is distributed freely. So people don't even realize what they get into sometimes, and they think that this is something which looks like spiritual, which appears to be religious. So if I just join the line, join the queue, then I'll also become spiritual, I'll also become religious. This year we were in Chicago and we were driving with Maharaj, and we just passed under one overbridge, and Maharaj was telling that recently there was a news in which the people, they were having vision of Mother Mary on one of the walls of that overbridge, and you know, high priests from the churches, they were coming and offering candles and roses. It was just a silhouette of Mother Mary. And, you know, the traffic was being blocked. All these people were coming and offering their candles and roses and bouquets to Mother Mary, who was seen on the wall. And then the police came. And the police then investigated and found out that what had happened a few days ago, a drunk derelict had passed urine on the wall, and that appeared to be, you know, that silhouette of Mother Mary, and people were offering their candles and roses to that dried up urine of this drunk. So this is another category of people who come in this particular branch of a religion, Paradharma. And in Bombay, of course, all over India, all over the world, this was when a couple of years ago, this entire family of Lord Shiva was drinking milk. I was in Delhi then, and even at our ISKCON temple over there, there was a long line of the congregation devotees feeding milk to Laddu Gopalji. And then it went to that extent that, you know, they even brought small DT of Srila Prabhupada and they tried out feeding milk to Srila Prabhupada, and there was a bigger line for that. And some of us, we went to see what's happening. And I observed closely and I said that, well, all that milk is dripping down, Prabhupada's dhoti is soaked with all that milk. And some of the devotees told me that you're offensive speaking like this, Prabhupada is accepting this milk today. So then what we did, it was a small DT of Prabhupada, so we lifted the DT of Prabhupada in our hand. And then we showed that how all that milk was dripping down, then they could see whatever milk they were feeding, all that milk was dripping down. And then they realized that, you know, Prabhupada is not drinking that milk, it's just getting wasted. So they stopped that. The only advantage on that day was that the milk shops and the milkmen, they had a nice time, their business was booming up. So this is the category which Narad Muni is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj, that the Paradharmis, that they take up a religious principle which is introduced by anyone and everyone. And then Narad Muni explains the third category, which is called the Upadharmis, and in which he explains a new type of religion created by one who falsely is proud and opposes the Vedas. These are the people who are very falsely proud of what they are into, which is actually against the Vedas, and it is something which is just concocted and created by their whims and fancies. And they even quote the scripture saying that what the scriptures say about the next incarnation in this age of Kali Yuga is me. I am that one who has been quoted in the scriptures. We had this person in India who propagated this theory of Sambhog se Samadhi in this particular category, which was actually Sambhog se Bimari tak, in which many of these people were dying of, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, and you know, this person, he himself died of, you know, that kind of disease. In Jagannath Puri, there is this sect called Ati Bodhi Jagannath, and the founder of this person, founder of this particular sect, he concocted a story in which he said that he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in his conversation with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, finally, I have understood our incarnation, yourself and myself, that how we appeared and how it all happened. And what was his explanation? That one day in Golok Vrindavan, Lord Krishna, he cracked a joke. And Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they started laughing. So from Lord Krishna's laughter, you appeared. And from Radharani's laughter, I appeared. And then he said, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he said that all these lofty things I don't understand. You are too great and too big to understand all these things. So in that language, to be too great and too big means Ati Bodhi. That you are Ati Bodhi. So he said, just see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recognizing me as so great and so big. So this sect started, Ati Bodhi Jagannath. After this person who just concocted a story saying that he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this all happened, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has certified. So if everyone recognizes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a bona fide incarnation and he has certified me, so therefore I am also a bona fide incarnation after him. There was this one Indian entertainer who visited the San Francisco temple, and he was showing his so-called ecstasies. He was chanting, and while chanting he was crying and shedding tears, and at one point of time he swooned in that so-called ecstasy and fell to the ground, appearing unconscious. And right at the time when the lecture was about to begin, he got up and started speaking, and also for the prasad after that. So devotees, they approached Srila Prabhupada and asked Srila Prabhupada that how should we understand when somebody comes like this and is showing some symptoms of ecstasy, how should we understand whether this person is faking or whether this person is genuine? And Srila Prabhupada had a wonderful formula of trying to detect whether such a person is faking or whether such a person is genuine. He said, just kick him. Just kick this person, and kick harder enough. And if he is really in his genuine ecstasy, he won't get up. And if he is faking, definitely he'll have to get up because of those kickings. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Vrindavan, and he was speaking very heavily against abortion, in which he was saying how if you legally are living in a place and somebody kicks you out of that place, you know, it's a torture. So similarly, somebody who is destined to live in a womb, and then that little embryo or the child is killed in the womb, it is torture to that particular child. So he was speaking very heavily against abortion and birth control. And after a while in that walk, one Indian gentleman came up to Prabhupada and said that this person, this bogus guru who claims himself to be God, recently his mother has denounced him and exposed him to everyone that, you know, this son of mine who claims himself to be God is actually a bogus fellow. And Srila Prabhupada, he started laughing, and then he said, she should have finished him in her womb first. And all the devotees, you know, They are very surprised and very amazed to hear that from Srila Prabhupada. So this is the category of people who are Upadharmis, according to Narad Muni. And the fourth category, Narad Muni explains, is the Chaladharmis. The fourth category of irreligion is Chaladharma. That is dharma introduced by jugglery of words. That the Vedic principles, the Vedic texts, the pure texts of the Vedic or the Vedas are taken and these words are juggled. And then another theory is concocted just by juggling of the words. And we have that famous Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam Moodhamate, which Shankaracharya chanted at the end of his life, which was again misinterpreted, in which some of the followers later on, they interpreted it as saying that it's only the fools and rascals who worship Govinda. That's what Shankaracharya meant. And another interpretation was that Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, which means Shankaracharya said that you worship my spiritual master, Shripad Govindapad. So this comes in the category of Chaladharma, in which the whatever is spoken by their own acharyas many times is misinterpreted, what to speak of the Vedas. There was this person who wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, and he was very famous as Bhagavan in India. And when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, of all yajnas, I am the japa yajna. So he commented on that saying that when Krishna is speaking of japa, what that japa means? Japa means that you are chanting someone's name, chanting some spiritual person's name. You are chanting Ram's name, Krishna's name. And in that process of chanting, what you are doing is you are driving out all the unwanted desires from your mind and focusing on that name. So once you have done that, once you have driven out all the material desires, unwanted desires from your mind, and you have focused on that name, then ultimately what you have to do is you have to drive out that name also. And that is the actual understanding of Japa Yajna. That is the actual understanding of how to chant japa, that drive out first all the material desires, and then when that particular name is left out, drive that name also out, and then you'll become totally void. So this is the category of Chaladharmis. And also in this category comes those people who take out the Vedic text out of the context. And they quote it as it is, but they quote it at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with a wrong contextual meaning. Like, this happened in Malaysia. Some of these missionaries were distributing the flyers, saying that these Hare Krishna devotees are actually worshipping demons. And they were distributing to the Indian community over there. And the Indian people, they came to the temple and they were asking the devotees that, what is this? And they were quoting Bhagavad Gita as it is of Srila Prabhupada. And they were showing it that they are quoting, you know, your founder Acharya's Bhagavad Gita in the quote. And what was that quote? In which they were saying that the Hare Krishnas are worshipping demons. In the 10th chapter, when Krishna says, amongst the demons, I am Prahlad. That was the quote. So they took that quote in which Krishna is saying that amongst the demons, I am that great Prahlad. Saying that here is Krishna saying, their God is saying that he is a demon. So this is taking out of context a certain thing and then quoting it just to justify a certain kind of principle which they want to prove. One time, this was a letter which was quoted of Srila Prabhupada by some of the devotees in Mayapur. that anyone and everyone can come and stay in Mayapur and the society will take care of their expenses. And they were quoting Srila Prabhupada's letter, that Srila Prabhupada has written this. And yes, that line was quoted by Srila Prabhupada, but that line was taken out of context again. What had happened that time, some of the devotees who were sent to open something in Calcutta, they were having difficult times in Calcutta and they were, you know, very much frustrated living in that city. So they asked Srila Prabhupada that, can we go and can we shut down this particular project here in Calcutta and go and live in Mayapur? So Srila Prabhupada was very angry on them, and in that anger he wrote a sarcastic letter saying that you might as well, yes, go to Mayapur and stay there, and throughout your life we will take care of you, all your expenses. So Srila Prabhupada wrote that line in anger, and it was a sarcastic line saying that, yes, you might as well do nothing then. And that line was taken and it was printed in a leaflet, a pamphlet, saying that how Srila Prabhupada has said that anyone who wants to come and live in Mayapur, the society will take care of you. Another time, one disciple who started a business of growing mushrooms and selling mushrooms, which is forbidden according to our diet. And when he was asked again, he quoted that Prabhupada recommended, Prabhupada said that, you know, mushrooms are okay. But then when it was found, what was the context of that particular letter which Prabhupada, he had the letter also. So what had happened on a flight, this devotee had mistakenly taken mushrooms. Whatever was served in the flight, he has mistakenly taken mushrooms, and he asked Srila Prabhupada that he had done that. So Srila Prabhupada, he said that mushrooms are okay. He just wrote in reply to that question of this devotee who had mistakenly taken some mushroom, Srila Prabhupada said mushrooms are okay, and that line was taken as a principle in which he started a whole business of growing mushrooms and selling mushrooms, and said that Prabhupada said mushrooms are okay. So sometimes some of the texts, some of the instructions are taken out of the context and at a wrong time, at a wrong place, quoted in such a way, which also come in the category of this particular dharma introduced by the jugglery of words which Narad Muni is quoting over here. And the fifth is dharma abhas. Narad Muni is saying that this is a pretentious religious system which has some semblance of real religion. It's just an abhas, it's just a dim reflection of the real dharma. It is not exactly irreligion, but it's just a semblance of the real religion which is followed in a very faint way. And this is the last category which Narad Muni is explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj of the five types of irreligion. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada in one lecture, he was saying that how Krishna, he came to establish religion, as he says, yada yada hi dharmasya, that I come to establish dharma. And Srila Prabhupada said, in the same Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna is saying, sarva dharman parityajya. The same Krishna is saying that I come to establish dharma, and in the same scripture, the same person is saying that give up all kinds of dharma. Why? Because Krishna then wants to establish the real dharma, that is of surrender. And that is what here in Srimad Bhagavatam is also speaking of. That in the beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam announces about what is that irreligion, what is that Kaitava dharma which is kicked out. And also the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam establishes what is that real dharma. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. That the supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is to engage in loving devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is Ahaituki and Apratihata, and which will satisfy the soul completely. So this is the actual definition of dharma by the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. To comment, Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.